In Ephesians, or Ezekiel chapter 11, I don't know what I said at first, whether it was Ephesians or Ezekiel, but I wanted Ezekiel. We'll turn with me to Ezekiel in chapter 11. We've been looking at verses 4 through 13. And a point dealing with the boldness of the wicked being condemned, those princes of the people, 25, two in particular, who were wicked, and the fact that God made mention that he knew what they were doing. He knew their wickedness. He knew their wicked thoughts, their wicked intent. Just as he knows yours and mine. We then look at the disastrous consequences of men with evil intents, with evil purposes. And the consequences of those men being in control and in place of leadership is disastrous. So much so that God said that the streets of Jerusalem, the land was polluted with blood, the streets of Jerusalem were filled with their slain. Many had been slain up to that time, and those that were going to be slain because of the judgment of God, they were going to be attributed to them. Their evil intents and their evil purposes, which they had plotted against the people of God and against the Lord, and ultimately against God. Then, last week we began looking at the thought, still, the evil intents, evil purposes. But this is the destructive force, the destruction of those with evil intents and purposes. You see, last week we looked at that thought. They had boasted, these princes had boasted of their security. We're in Jerusalem. We're safe. We're secure. They had said in verse 3, they said, it's not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we are the blacks. That's what they said. But God said this in verse 9. God had said, I will bring you out of the midst thereof. I'll bring you out of Jerusalem and deliver you into the hands of strangers and will execute judgment upon you. He told them in essence, yes, they are the flesh. They're going to be boiled in the pot. They're going to be taken from Jerusalem, and they're going to be slain without. Their slaughter was going to be the just execution of God's judgment. God's judgment is just. I need to know that. You need to know that. When God renders judgment in condemnation and destruction, it is just. We deserve it. So God renders it justly on our behalf. And then we look at the thought that God said, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You see, they were in the judgment of God and in the destruction of God that God was going to bring upon them as they were dying, as they were being destroyed. God said, you're going to know that I'm the Lord. I'm Jehovah. Remember last week we said that phrase, and ye shall know that I'm the Lord, is used 57 times in the Old Testament. 57 times in the Old Testament, and 51 of those times is in the book of Ezekiel, where he's pronouncing judgment. And every time he pronounces the judgment, he says, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And we closed out with a thought on that lines that last week, how sad that it is that there's many in every age, in every generation, and how sad that there are many in our world today that will not know that he is the Lord till the end, till it's too late. And this will not be in repentance. This will be in destruction. In destruction, in their destruction, they're going to know that he is the Lord. That is, we said earlier, he is Lord of lords and King of kings.
Yeah.
They're going to know. Tonight we want to continue along this thought of the destruction of those with wicked intent. We have one more point under that thought. And it's, we see the words of the prophet being executed. Being executed. We find that in verse 13 as we did most of our points in this, on this, along this line. In verse 13, and he said, and it came to pass, when I prophesied, when I, Ezekiel, prophesied, when I began to prophesy the word of the Lord that the Lord had given me, that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. He was destroyed. God snatched out his life. He died. The words of the prophet Ezekiel, as he prophesied, they're executed, they're carried out. The word that God had given to him about the destruction coming upon those in the city. Pelatiah, we find, is the first to die. I said, and it came to pass when I prophesied at the word of Ezekiel, Pelatiah, son of Benaiah, died. In this vision, Ezekiel beheld the death of Pelatiah. Notice the speed in which this was carried out. How long did Pelatiah have from the time that it was prophesied from the mouth of Ezekiel? It was as Ezekiel was speaking. It was swift. It was quick. While Ezekiel was prophesying, Pelatiah died. He dropped down dead. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28. And look with me here in this chapter, verse 15. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in lies. Notice what it is. It's Hananiah, the prophet. And he prophesied a lie. The Lord says, you made the people to trust in a lie. Well, that's the very thing that Pelatiah was doing. Back in Ezekiel chapter 11. He was saying all these things falsely. He was causing the people to trust in the words which he was speaking. And the Lord says, I know what you're doing. I know what you're saying. Before Hananiah. Look at what he pronounces on Hananiah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast fought rebellion against the Lord. Causing the people to believe a lie is teaching rebellion against the Lord. The prophet that was supposed to speak the words of the Lord, he by speaking a lie, he's teaching the people to rebel against the Lord. You don't have to do what the Lord says. You don't have to heed what the Lord says. Do what the Lord says. I'm here not to tell you. I'm here not to tell myself. I better do what the Lord says.
Amen.
Look in verse 17. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Dishonor his word. We might be thinking, well, that's Old Testament. Well, okay, let's look at another Old Testament passage. Turn with me to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Zephaniah, verse 18. And we're told here, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. You, all the gold in the world won't deliver you from the day of the Lord's wrath. All the silver in the world, all the gold and silver in the world, will deliver you from the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. And when I read passages of Scripture like that, I don't know about you, but I can't help but think about our land tonight. The land in which we live. The good old United States of America that at one time had the distinction of being a Christian nation. Do we not know that God is jealous? Even even so-called Christians are just throwing God around like he's their puppet or something. They're not giving God the glory due unto him. They're not giving honor to him. Not to mention those that think their wealth is going to attain them some status because of their great wealth. Because of their great wealth, they've given to all these charities, charitable events. Well, that's a good work, isn't it? Well, among men, it might be a good work. But it gains me no status with God. It gains you no status with God. Amen. He said here in our verse, neither silver nor gold shall be able to deliver you, shall redeem you, shall save you. In that day. Well, not only neither silver nor gold, but neither will your good works. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall I enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And now, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Look at all the good works that we're doing in your name. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, they're doing all that to gain favor with God. And have not a heart filled with the Lord Jesus Christ and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we that are redeemed, we know that it's not of our good works. We know that it's not of silver and of gold. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. See, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. No man can gain heaven. But by me, amen. Jesus said. Let's look at the New Testament. This is, folks, this is getting down our day and time. This is getting down to our day and time, this passage of Scripture. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 5. You see, we were in the Old Testament. We were in Jeremiah. We were in Zephaniah. That's Old Testament, right? And that was at least 1,000 years before the New Testament. Right? Well, turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 5. You remember a man and a woman, his wife, by the name of Ananias, the try to make a people believe a lie. They try to make the fellow church members believe a lie. You see, in verse 34 of chapter 4, it said, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and bought the pieces of the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now look at Ananias and Sapphira. This is what was going on in the church. A good thing was going on. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. They sold a piece of land. A piece of land that was in their possession. They had the title deed to it. And took that part of the price. His wife, who being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. In other words, they told the church, told the apostles, that they sold the land for so much, which was less than what they had sold it for, and this were giving all. And they were only giving half of it. Had nothing wrong with that. But they needed to make it known this is only half of what we sold it for. Don't try to make everybody think this is, they gave all. Like everybody else was doing. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart and lie to the Holy Ghost? And to keep that part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not thine own? Power? Hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. See, they lied to God. More importantly, God the Holy Spirit, and what they were charged with, lying to God the Holy Spirit, which is the lie to God. Verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things. How much time did Ananias have? Did he have time to set his affairs straight? Nope, he didn't even have time to set his affairs straight, did he? He died right then. Well, what about his wife? She can take care of the affairs, right? Well, let's see about his wife. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much, that's what we sold it for. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together with your husband to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead and carried her or buried her by her husband. You You say, but I thought God was a God of love. God is a God of love. We that are saved, we that are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that He's a God of love.
Amen.
But He's a God of justice.
Amen.
He's a righteous God, a holy God. He hates sin. Amen. He hates sin in me. I've shared with you before. I've known at least one brother that the Lord took because he stood in direct opposition to God's man and to God's church. And within a year, he was left hand and knife. He was gone. The Lord took him. Why would God do such thing? First of all, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Right there, boy, God does that. Because all that will hear of it will fear him. He's a jealous God. And he knows the power of life and death. In his hands. This would indicate that Philippi dying with the words of Ezekiel would indicate to the elders as well the immediate judgment of God. See, God's words are true. And that indicated that. Telltale falling down dead indicated to the rest of them that were left there, they weren't safe either. They weren't secure either. Here the head. The head prince of those 25 princes falling down dead. God killed them. God finished them. And they're next. God's judgment is falling on them. Those who persist in wickedness, destruction shall flow from that. Look with me at the 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. 18th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Some might be able to quote this verse here. At least you know of it, I'm sure of it. Chapter 18 and verse 4. Behold, says God, all souls are mine. He's by virtue of creation. He's our creator. He's the creator of all men.
Amen.
God states that here. All souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Amen.
The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Look at verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. In other words, a son wasn't going to die because of the sins of his father. And the father wasn't going to die because of the sins of the son. Each man's going to die for his own sin. And each man will stand righteous before God because of his righteousness which God has worked into him. How's that? The one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said in the book of Romans, chapter 3, and verse 23, for all have sinned many? Oh, has everybody here, everybody out there, if you were online, and everybody was not listening tonight. There's not been a man since Adam who has not sinned, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to put with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was a man, but he was God at the same time. And he was without sin. The only one, the Son of God. He was righteous and holy and just. And all that he did was determined in the book of James. James in chapter 1. And look at verse 15. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Listen, there's not a man alive that does not lust. And that's not just talking sexual lust. That's following your own desires and passions, whatever it may be, instead of following God's word. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. You want to know why men die? Because of sin. You want to know why men die and go to hell? It's because of sin. I can't leave you there on that note tonight. Amen. The rest of verse 23 that I was quoting to you says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
But the gift of God, not anything that you can do with works, not any amount of gold and silver that you can pay, but the gift of God, which is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Back to chapter 3 of Romans, verse 21, it says this, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. For all sin comes short of the glory of God. There's no difference. We've all sinned, we're all fired into the condemnation of death, except for faith, which is the gift of God. Though we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no difference. They have eternal salvation. They can look forward to heaven. They can look forward to seeing Jesus Christ face to face. Verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace, the gift, by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Thank God. You put that foot, the gift of God, the eternal life in Jesus Christ. I'm glad for salvation. I'm glad that you have to have it. Because I am a sinner. He did not provide it. There had not been one soul saved. And all were dying. Gone to hell by virtue of their own condemnation. Their own condemnation. Man's got this idea that God condemned certain men, to heaven and then saves others. No, they go there by virtue of their own condemnation. They're willingly lawbreakers. They're willingly breakers of God's law. They delight in it. And they're hiding that condemnation. Praise God. He chose. Told you to be Lord. Before the foundation of the world. The same. And I was one of those. How about you? Are you one? Well, that's our message for the night. Next week we'll go on. I think we have at least one more point on verse 13. We gotta look at what Ezekiel did.